The Mystery Date.
Oh, the Gottmans? I kind of like that one.
You know, I can riff on this because I got on their website and just registered, but it's like all booked out.
Step number one to a happier
Plan
marriage. Hi, welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
And I'm GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
We're coming to you from GeekWire headquarters in Seattle, where we get to report each day on what's happening around us in technology, science, and innovation. What happens here matters everywhere. And this week on the show, we'll be talking about some of the biggest and most interesting stories that we've been covering, including a Seattle startup's unique partnership with a Love Institute, plus an NFL quarterback comes up with a novel technique for navigating the Microsoft Surface tablet. But first, let's jump in with our first story, John. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia hacked into Jeff Bezos' phone.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because Saudi Arabia says that didn't happen.
Oh, okay. Well, if you believe the detailed forensic report about MBS, aka Mohammed bin Salman, it looks very convincing that he used a WhatsApp conversation to deposit a nefarious video onto Jeff Bezos' phone.
This whole saga has been
bizarre.
Bizarre how this is all unfolded.
And there was always a question of how the National Enquirer got the details and the pictures from his phone that...
Yeah, because there was the brother of Bezos' love interest...
Yes.
...who was alleged to have provided it to the National Enquirer.
Yes,
right?
But then Jeff Bezos' investigator always contended that Saudi Arabia was involved. And so then this past week, we got the details that explained why he thought that. And so I guess this is what happens when corporate and world leaders meet. They connect on WhatsApp. Is that what happens? Because effectively, Bezos and MBS, I mean, they literally have the copy of their exchange. And he says, hello, MBS. And he says, you know, essentially, nice to meet you, Mr. Bezos. You know, like, it was very, very casual.
I'm planning spyware onto your phone right now.
And so what happened was, they didn't know how all of this data leaked off of Jeff Bezos' phone, but then through this analysis, they realized that shortly after this video played in WhatsApp on his phone, suddenly for months thereafter, tons and tons of data was essentially being uploaded from Jeff Bezos' phone to someplace where people were able to grab it. What else did they find out? I mean, this is Jeff Bezos' personal iPhone, the CEO of Amazon, the head of Blue Origin.
Yeah, we're spinning off AWS next
yeah,
year.
Exactly.
You know,
maybe that's less consequential than the stuff they actually figured out. But can you imagine for months and months and months what they were able to glean from Jeff Bezos' phone?
Maybe he leads a very boring life.
Apparently not. Yeah. Obviously not.
I'm surprised that Jeff Bezos' security team or this wasn't a more secure environment that it would at least be discovered sooner. But I guess it just goes to show even the richest person on the planet is not really protecting his data. You know, one of the questions is why isn't there a protocol that Jeff Bezos is going through as it relates to his phone, you know, switching out a device every 3 months or 6 months? At least somebody who was maybe potentially analyzing it for malware on the device. I'm just surprised that that wasn't happening.
I'm sure he's doing it now. And I just kept thinking,
or maybe he's not using a phone anymore. Well, he's just
handing it to an assistant. The assistant
he's having
doing
somebody type out emails for him.
If only Amazon had the Fire Phone, none of this would have happened.
Oh, that's right.
No doubt he would have been secure there, at least probably been getting a bunch of different devices.
They probably wouldn't have had the WhatsApp app on it.
No, it was running Android. It was an Android phone. So anyway, all right. One of the craziest stories of the past year, to me, this took it up a whole other level, which...
And it's probably not over.
All right. If you think that was weird, just wait until you hear what one NFL player was doing with a Microsoft Surface on the sidelines of the playoffs last weekend. That's coming up next.
Technology moves fast. I need to move faster. WGU's competency-based education puts me in control of how fast I move through my IT degree program. I can accelerate my program by applying what I already know to my courses and focusing on the things I need to learn. Earn a respected accredited degree that propels your career in the IT field. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
John, have you tuned out of the NFL playoffs now that the Seahawks aren't in it anymore?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So you might not have been watching last weekend when Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill really invented a novel new form of user interaction with a device. Did you see this?
I did not. I'm now looking at the story on GeekWire about it. I'm glad we had this hard-hitting journalism this week.
Exactly. So everybody's been there, right? You've got on a pair of gloves. What do you do? How do you get to the point where you can navigate through your tablet, your iPad, your iPhone? Well,
with gloves on.
With gloves on,
yeah.
It's very hard.
Side note here,
yes.
I actually have a new tactic and strategy. As you know, I walk a lot and I'm listening to my podcasts and I'm often on my phone checking email and Slack and whatnot. And I actually wear two different types of gloves now so that I can have my one glove that I have that has the ability.
Yeah, it's got
for
the
me,
little pad on
little
it.
Little pad on it. I can actually activate some functions on my phone. So that's my solution.
So
rather than taking both gloves off.
Well, wait a second. Why don't you just wear the one pair of gloves?
Because I lost the other glove. So now I have a right and a left. Anyway.
All right. So as you know, I'm sure, the NFL has a multi-year deal with Microsoft through which Microsoft Surface tablets are used on the sidelines of NFL games for looking at the static pictures that used to basically come down as prints that the quarterbacks and others on
is
the
that
offense.
How they used to do it? Huh?
I think they would print them out on the sidelines.
Really?
Okay. And so this has replaced that. But the problem is it's cold out there, man. And this guy was wearing gloves. And so he sat there and he literally swiped with his nose. And Panos Panay, the Microsoft devices chief, responded, well, we don't have a test for this exact scenario, but I'm thinking we could add one. So clearly Microsoft is watching, but this is an actual problem that exists out there. And it'd be interesting to see if they could come up with a solution that didn't involve swiping his nose.
Could just follow your eye movement, perhaps.
There you go. Actually, it's interesting, connected to football. You know, Microsoft is essentially doing that with Steve Gleason, the former NFL player who has ALS, and he's actually been pioneering a bunch of different user interfaces, accessibility interfaces. So I know we're joking around here, but frankly, sometimes these real world challenges, whether it's because somebody has a disability or they're wearing gloves, can lead to actual solutions for technology problems. I got to say, though, Kurt Schlosser outdid himself on this one. He wrote this story and he wrote the headline, and it was, did he swipe right? NFL quarterback shows he knows, N-O-S-E, a unique way to use the Microsoft Surface.
Pretty clever.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's got to be the headline of the week.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? If you had not told me that Kurt wrote that headline, I could have looked at the headline and told you that he was responsible.
That's absolutely true. Now, it did not prove a success for the Titans swiping with the nose. They lost.
So maybe we
ultimately
should just drop this whole thing.
Yeah.
This thing totally blows.
By the way, who are you going for in the Super Bowl? That's great. That's real clever. But who are you picking in the Super Bowl? Quick pick.
Who's in the Super Bowl? I've totally tuned out.
Really? You really?
Yes,
the 49ers and the Chiefs.
I knew the 49ers were the Chiefs. Are they any good this year?
Yeah, they're in the Super Bowl.
Come on. I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't even
want
to have this conversation.
All right.
The Seahawks aren't in it.
All right.
So that was not the only Microsoft device news this past week. We also got a glimpse of the way that the navigation will work in the upcoming Microsoft Duo dual screen device. Have you heard about this thing, John?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But fill me in.
So this
Why is this cool?
This is going to be
or
Microsoft's.
Not cool.
I personally think it's going to be cool. I want this.
Really?
Yes. And I don't always say that. I want this device. And I can explain why in a second.
I think I can guess why.
Yeah. So it's essentially a folio device. So it is a two screen device and it does fold, but it has a hinge, unlike the Samsung foldable phone where the screen actually bends. This has a hinge, so it's essentially like opening up a notebook, and that's the reason I want it. You can move apps from one side to the other. You can read on one side and take notes on the other. You can do all sorts of interesting things, and this demo video that we got a chance to see this week, it looks really cool, and to me, this is the type of thing that could make Microsoft relevant again in a new device category. And it will double as a phone. And it runs Android. This version, the Duo, will run Android. So,
and do we know a price point yet?
We do not know a specific price point, no.
What would you pay for this based on what you've seen?
I would bet you that it'll probably cost $699, $799. And I
so
think
it'll
it
compete
should cost,
with a lower, maybe a lower iPhone model,
yes,
I guess.
Yes. I think it should cost something more in the range of $499, $399. But I think at this point, it will probably be at a higher price point at launch.
So since it doubles as a phone, do you sign up with your service provider, a T-Mobile or Verizon, to get service through this as well?
And the big question is, how are you going to hold this thing up to your ear? But this really will be something that the Microsoft Surface Buds, the wireless earbuds that Microsoft will be coming out with, will work, and presumably with other Bluetooth headsets as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. I looked at the video and I know you're a big dual screen guy, so that's why I'm not surprised that you would have this.
Tri-screen guy.
That's true. So would you have this? You would have a phone and you'd have this device and a laptop?
That's a good question. This might be enough with a desktop to get rid of your phone and your laptop. But you're raising a good point. I don't know the answer to that.
And if you're walking around, and then if you do that and you're walking around town, where are you putting this? I mean, it's
small enough essentially.
You could get it in a pocket?
I think so, maybe. Or you'd hold it like a notebook, like a Moleskine device. To me, though, this actually solves something that you do that really pisses me off.
I knew exactly what you were going to say.
Yeah. So
why don't we tell the great listeners out there what it is that upsets you?
So you take your phone into meetings, and for purposes of efficiency, you like to take notes by tapping on your phone in your notes app. And so then it's synced to all your devices. But John, you take such good handwritten notes. Like if you're writing on the back of a resume for a job candidate that we're interviewing.
That's really the only time I do it.
Yeah. But you're so good at it.
Like, and then I lose them and they get misdirected and
imagine this with a stylus, where instead of tapping as if you're texting somebody, you're sitting there and you've got their resume on the left side and you've got your notes on the other, and you're scribbling effectively in OneNote on your Microsoft Duo. See, that to me would actually solve the social awkwardness of the situation, really why it bothers me.
Well, let me tell you. In most of those meetings, I do tell people beforehand.
I know, and it's obnoxious.
I'm not texting. I'm just taking notes on my phone related to the meeting. What's wrong? Why is that obnoxious?
I know, because you got to do a disclaimer to excuse the thing that you're about to do.
And if I'm writing on a tablet and looking at Sports Center on the other screen in the Duo during the meeting, is that better?
Yes, because at least they'll think that you're paying attention. It's all about appearances, John.
It seems like your philosophy and strategy here with the Duo, with the Surface Duo, is going to cause you to be more distracted in meetings because you'll have two things going on when you really should just be focused on the person across from you in the meeting.
That's true. Okay, we'll see. Well, we will hopefully get a chance to test this out by the end of the year, and we'll find out one way or the other. And you can come back and rake me over the coals.
So you don't know the price point, but do we know when it's going to be released?
By the end of the year.
It is, certainly. Yeah. Like, not only the test versions, it's going to be out. Yeah. So this is going to be a good holiday gift for you.
Hopefully, if you can get one. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, so that is the Microsoft Surface Duo. It runs Android, and it's, as we said, supposed to come out later this year. You can check out the videos on GeekWire. Just go to the show notes on the podcast or look for the post associated with this episode on geekwire.com. We will be right back with a discussion of
John's dating life.
That's coming. Boy, that's a hell of a teaser. That's coming up next on GeekWire. Welcome back. It's Todd Bishop with John Cook. John, have you heard of the Gottmans before?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
So have I.
They're famous.
In fact, they're based here in Seattle.
Yeah. They run a love institute. How haven't you heard of them? No, it's couples therapy, how to get the most out of your relationship.
Yes. This is Dr. John Gottman and Dr. Julie Schwartz Gottman. They are the founders of the Gottman Institute. They are really famed for their marriage counseling, marriage therapy, and they have this whole legion of people who effectively follow their methodology as therapists that you can go to and you can sort of get the Gottman method, as it were. They struck a unique partnership with one of the more interesting Seattle startups that we've covered in recent months, Mystery. This is the year-old startup that facilitates surprise dates and interesting events where you go out and you don't know what you're necessarily going to be doing. They arrange it based on your preferences and interests, and it's kind of like a mystery. It's well named, a mystery for you and your date as to what you're going to be doing. We've tested it. It seems like a really cool service.
Yeah, I've had a few people that I know that have participated and they really have enjoyed it. So I actually got online, signed up for Mystery today. We have a sitter this weekend. I can maybe get out and have some fun with my wife. And I was like, this would be a blast to go do a mystery date. Now, the problem was after signing up, and they have a pretty easy to use sign up process, ask you a bunch of questions, try to get your interests aligned. They don't have any opportunities available.
They all booked? They're booked.
They're all booked. They need to create more capacity.
So this partnership is connected to the book 8 Dates by the Gottmans, which is essentially a progression that you go through to have different conversations about different aspects of your relationship and life through these different dates that the Gottmans propose. So Mystery is essentially allowing you or enabling you to do those through its app. But apparently, based on your experience...
Well, at least this weekend, I'm going to be, you know, desperate to find other activities for my date night. I need help.
So, yes,
I need help, GeekWire listeners.
So, I got to
come up with a date idea.
I got to tell you, though, this actually speaks to one of the ways that you could probably improve your relationship. And that is through a little more advanced planning.
This is true. I am proud of the fact that I was the person who facilitated the sitter, at least.
So wow.
The very first step, you know, that's a big win, right? But you know how I am. I can't plan something out far in advance, especially something like this. I need day of services.
But actually, you know, as much grief as I give you on this stuff and the planning, you're actually really good at creating experiences and moments for the people around you. Like you do like a scavenger hunt at your birthday. You did this elaborate Star Wars thing for your son on his birthday at the park. You're like, this is one thing that you're really good at.
Well, I am an event planner.
You actually are. That's always a good joke.
So come out to the GeekWire Awards on March 26th, right?
And you too can experience.
You can experience this.
John's organizational capabilities.
That's right.
GeekWire.com.
But I think this is a cool idea. I really am excited to give Mystery a try and test this out. So I'm excited to get some more information from the Gottman Institute. My wife and I actually have been talking about enrolling in some of their programs anyway. And so I was really excited to give it a try. But again, can't make it happen this weekend. Well, so I gotta, as you said, gotta plan ahead for the coming weeks.
So this actually speaks to the success of whatever Mystery is doing.
The service, the fact that they are sold out or that they need to get their capacity built so that they have more restaurants and theater and whatnot that they go and partner with.
So Mystery launched last September. They raised $1.2 million in funding from firms including Founders Co-op, Liquid 2 Ventures, Frontier Venture Capital. Clearly, this is something that is at least enough of an interest for folks out there that they're selling out. So
yeah, and we should give people the pricing on this. It's about $50 up to $200 per person, depending upon the date experience. But everything's planned. Everything's organized for you. And then there's a $20 planning fee that's included in that. And so what I'm interested in is on the business model here, there are a lot of different ways that this company can make money and get paid, both from people who are signing up for the service, but also you can imagine through the affiliate revenue, perhaps from the restaurants or theater. You can think about advertising, you know, the partnership with the Gottman Institute. If they're marketing classes, are they getting a rev share on the books or the class? You know, I love these businesses where there are like multiple revenue streams that you can see coming into it. So it's a bit of a, you know, it's kind of a lighter idea. When I first heard about it, I was like, God, why are these venture capital firms backing this company? It's a bit oddball. It's not really a venture style investment. But the more I've thought about it, I think there's a real business here that looks pretty interesting.
And it's interesting in that way because it's not just multiple revenue streams. It's multiple revenue streams from effectively the same business motion, right? They're doing one thing. They're planning these dates and having people go out on them. But as you said, they're getting these potential influxes of income from all sorts of different places from that one thing.
Yeah. And I think the challenge for this company is the idea is novel. It's interesting, but it's not, I think it's pretty easy to replicate. And so there will be a race to how quick, and they do have competition. They're not the only company doing this. There will be a race into these markets to make sure that the company that makes it there has the best experience, the best market share, the best marketing efforts. And that's going to be hard to scale this because it is more like an Uber style model that you have to have boots on the street, if you will, to make sure that somebody's out there making sure the vendors are on board and the experience is going well. And so that's hard to do, but I think it's an interesting idea.
And the Gottman partnership is just the latest thing that they're doing. You can do mystery dates,
right,
if you plan far enough in advance.
Now, you look at a business like this, that one of the other risks that they will face is if a recession hits, this will probably be one of the first things that goes. You're not going to spend, you know, $75 on a mystery date. You're probably going to just go up to the corner pub and get a beer for the night versus
on your own.
Yeah.
But we should point out that those fees that you were referencing earlier, that includes dinner and the experience.
Yeah, the whole experience is taken care of and planned. Yeah. So interesting idea.
So that is Mysteries partnership with the Gottman Institute. Kurt wrote this story as well, and you can check that out at geekwire.com. Now, before we end the show, John, I want to circle back to last week's GeekWire trivia challenge. This was...
I actually knew the answer
you
to this
did,
one.
And you apparently were the only one because we did not get any correct answers in response to this question. So
people need to read GeekWire more closely.
That's right. So we've still got those tickets that we've set aside for the GeekWire Awards for a future trivia challenge. Maybe I'll have to bring back the Tech Tune next
week. I love the Tech Tune. I never get the Tech Tune right.
Yes, exactly. So, but lots of other people do.
That's so right. Maybe that's...
we'll bring it back. Yeah. But I did want to let people know who heard that what the answer is. So the question again was, there are two figures from history who have something in common with the Seattle startup scene. John Ehrlichman, the former Nixon aide and Watergate figure, and Jonas Salk, the inventor of the polio vaccine, the discoverer of the polio vaccine. So, John, do you want to explain to folks what it is?
I sure do, yes. Matt Ehrlichman is the grandson
right.
of John Ehrlichman.
Right.
And Matt Ehrlichman is the CEO of Porch,
yes.
which is a startup that connects consumers to
home contractors.
Exactly. And Jonas Salk's son and I...
Grandson.
Is a grandson.
Both grandson.
Jonas Salk's grandson, and I can't remember his first name, but when I saw
Jesse.
Jesse Salk has a company, is it TwinStrand?
That's right.
Yeah, DNA sequencing, really interesting startup that just raised some venture capital. Actually, when I saw his name initially, I was like, Salk, that's a really interesting name. And then I read through the bottom of your story and you had some information about that it is actually the grandson of Jonas Salk. So pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd love to have Jesse Salk sometime on our GeekWire Health Tech podcast.
That'd be great. Yeah. I want to know more about – you kind of touched on it in the story, but I think there's more – I would love to know more about him and that background. And yeah, I think there's a cool story to follow up there.
So Jesse Salk, the grandson of Jonas Salk, said that he was in fact around his grandfather. Like it was not something where he grew up after his grandfather passed away. He was influenced by him and remembered different details of his grandfather. And he was, though, and the reason I didn't play it up prominently, you could tell he was a little uncomfortable going into that level of detail. He didn't want it to seem
like... He didn't want it to be like a trivia question on the GeekWire podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I could see where he was, I think, concerned that it would be the focus of their funding story, like Jonas Salk's grandson does this. And I think And I wanted to respect that because, you know, he's clearly doing something in his own right that's very impactful. Certainly not yet on the level of the polio vaccine, but really interesting in terms of the way that they're able to sequence DNA in a much more efficient way than many other people are currently.
Yeah, great trivia question, Todd. I'd love the ones that I can actually answer correctly.
Yes, and that no one else can.
That's right.
All right, so we've been alluding to it all along, but don't forget, the GeekWire Awards are coming up March 26th at the MoPOP Museum here in Seattle. We are currently open for nominations for the GeekWire Awards. Later on, we'll be shifting into voting after our judges determine the finalists. I love this event, and it's been cool. We've been putting little snippets of the greatest moments of the GeekWire Awards out on our Twitter feed, so you should definitely check those out. There's some fun moments over the years.
Absolutely.
At this event. What's your favorite?
My favorite moment? Wow. I think it was, you know, the Avalera win with Rory Rollins coming up on stage and going absolutely nuts.
He was just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what he was so excited about. I just remember him just going nuts on stage.
Yeah.
So what will happen this year? Go to geekwire.com/awards, get your tickets, and you can find out. How's that for a plug?
I love it.
All right. Okay. Hey, until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening to GeekWire.